All right, Kevin Barker, it's almost like the All-Star break didn't happen.
Huh. Blue Jays, 5-4 losers to the Detroit Tigers in the first game of this three-game homestand, first game after the All-Star break. Kevin, I guess the real question surrounding the decision to let Chris Bassitt face Wenzel Perez a fourth time through, something that Chris Bassitt in 19 previous starts has not done. I think there have been two plate appearances against him by hitters making their fourth plate appearance against him in a game. So I guess the question is, do you think John Schneider stuck too long with Chris Bassitt?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think with the assets that he does have with his team.
Or doesn't have.
All right, there you go. I was trying to be nice, Jeff. I think every time he makes a decision has to be perfect. And, you know, you just mentioned what Chris has not done four times through. Cabrera's been really good, eight appearances in a row where he hasn't allowed a run. He was loose. Perez, you know, again, that part of the game, you're down a run. You know what you don't have in your lineup. You know that you're trying to, you know, bloop and bomb him, exactly what Springer did there in the eighth inning. That's what you're trying to do to get the lead, and the only way you're going to do that is to do things sometimes where you just don't have to answer the question. And now because you left Chris in against the lefty, he throws a sinker down the middle, he gets beat by it. So, yeah, you know, look, I think that's sort of armchair quarterback. That would be the one move that, again, going into every single night, you got to be perfect as the manager with this team because of where you're at in the standings and how far behind you are. And now all of a sudden you don't have Bo Bichette anymore. It's very important to always make the right decision. So for me, that's one of those situations where I'd just rather not have to answer the question. Chris is not used to doing it four times through the order. I'd rather bring in my hot lefty who's been really good here lately against a left-handed hitter.
416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays fall to 44-53 on the season. It was a battle of home runs tonight. The Blue Jays getting two home runs, a missile, the only way to describe it, from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in the sixth inning, and then a two-run shot, George Springer's 11th. But it was a case of too little, too late. The Blue Jays had a couple of opportunities to score runs. They did not come through in the fifth inning. Both Alejandro Kirk and Ernie Clement struck out with runners at second and first. And then in that eighth inning when George Springer homered, Vladdy came up with a runner on first base after Spencer Horwitz singled. Vladdy flew to right, and then Justin Turner went out 5-3. Leo Jimenez went out 6-3 to end the inning with the potential tying run on first base. We'll talk about that in a minute. For the Detroit Tigers, two home runs. Again, Wenzel Perez, we talked about that, and Mark Canha getting a home run in a three-run fourth inning. Bo Bichette, as Kevin Barker mentioned, left the game after a fly ball to right field in the sixth inning. He was taken out of the game with what the Blue Jays termed a calf strain. Kevin, you have to wonder. Bo did not go on the IL just before the All-Star break, but he did not play as a result of a calf injury. You could tell by the reaction of his teammates, specifically Vladdy Jr. and Jose Berríos on the bench, that there was a great deal of concern. Bo was left the field in the zone under his own steam, but was attended to as soon as he got into the dugout and taken out of the game. And I know the first thing I thought about, and I'm not going to necessarily go down that road, but you mentioned it as well, I kept thinking of Josh Donaldson and how the history of calf injuries really plagued him towards the end of his career. But you noticed something very early from Bo in his first at-bat that made you think, well, I think originally we thought it might be a strategic thing in the part of Bo, but now we're wondering if maybe it was because he was feeling a little bit of pain.
Yeah, well, it's every pitch he's using this two-strike approach, and I was thinking, you know, you look at the scoreboard, he's hitting .220, sense of urgency, trying to help his team. You know, hasn't had the best of years. It's about getting a bunch of hits. Gives him a better chance to, you know, battle. We saw that. He saw more pitches per plate appearance tonight. Like, he just looked like he had a better chance of getting into the zone, keeping the zone, having good rotation with the lower half. And then you see how he came out of the box when he hit the line drive. And, you know, I think that was maybe more because he had to do it other than because he wanted to do it. And, you know, again, not being able to be yourself, which is the big giant leg kick until you get to two strikes, and then, you know, going to the two-strike approach and battling and giving a competitive big league at bat is, you know, sort of Bo's M.O. Look, I've never had a calf issue, especially with my push-off calf, right? The one that you're putting all the pressure on, even if you're in your two-strike approach. That's his right calf, which means that basically is doing all the work. Whenever he kicks his leg, all the pressure's being put on that. And when he makes a positive move towards the baseball, sort of that back calf, that right calf's doing all the work. So, yeah, I mean, again, that's a shame. Like, you know, you can tell he's had a real tough year just mechanically, mentally, just seems like, and now he's added the physical part to it. It's been a tough year for Bo. So, you know, it seems like to me anyway, I'm not going to speak out of turn here. I'm not a doctor, but, man, it looks like the way he's running to first there, pulling up. I just don't know how they can't put him on the IL, try and figure out how to get it better, and hopefully when he comes back, he hits the ground running. So that's too bad. You know, again, it gets back to that thing when you don't have your best players, they're not sort of doing what you expect them to do. Every other part, including your manager, have to almost be perfect. And when you're not, you lose baseball games.
According to the Blue Jays, Bo Bichette will be undergoing an MRI tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Again, they're calling it an aggravated right calf strain. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. The Blue Jays have lost 5-4 to the Detroit Tigers, the first game of a three-game series. As we open the phone lines, what are your hopes for the second half of the season, the post-All-Star break portion of the season? But what are you realistically expecting to see from the Blue Jays? And what are your thoughts about where this organization goes? 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. I mean, let's be clear. This organization, I think a lot of us expect it to be very active at the trade deadline. Mm. I don't think they would ever call themselves sellers, but I would certainly say they would be, I guess if I was going to describe it, they would be aggressively paying attention to the market and earnestly soliciting calls from teams about several
of
the players.
Did you write all that down?
Pretty much. I actually just pulled that out of my ass right now. But that's where we are with the Blue Jays. Is that where you are with the Blue Jays? And what do you think will happen? 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Jack Flaherty had a no-hitter going through four and a third innings. Kevin, this is a guy who, speaking of the trade deadline, a guy who is expected to be on the trade block. You know, a lot of people expect the Tigers to be sellers. I still don't. I know there's a lot of rumors about Tarik Skubal. I don't know why you would do that if you're Detroit. It was interesting, I thought, today, though. I wonder what was going through A.J. Hinch's mind. He's managing the game, and the owner of the team is sitting in the first row. The first row right behind him. Chris Illich was at the game, sitting in the first row right behind the dugout with the Tigers' brain trust, which I found kind of interesting. Look, Jack Flaherty, the velocity spiked up. He's not throwing the cutter as much as he used to. He's got the slider working. He's got the knuckle curve that I know you really like.
Yeah.
What do you think of him as an acquisition for a team that that might be thinking of making a serious run in the postseason?
Yeah, look, I think he would be a perfect three or four starter, right, on a good team. And, you know, this is sort of what you expect sort of late in the season as a veteran guy who knows how to add and subtract and can throw, you know, the knuckle curve and changing speeds with the slider and having different breaks and having one go one way and one go the other way and using the fastball, you know, sort of on purpose after setting it up because you're getting ahead with the secondary stuff and being unpredictable when it comes to that. So, look, let's face it, he's got an ERA of under three because of those two secondary pitches. And, you know, just that four-seamer is a complimentary pitch. So, yeah, I like it. Like, I like the lights are not going to be too bright, and I do like just the mechanical change. Looks like he's centered on the mound. You know, the release point's consistent, which is not what we saw the last couple of years. So Absolutely. You know, again, I don't think he's a one or two, but I do think on a good team in the right situation against the right team, you know, as a 3-4 guy, he can go out there in that curve, knuckle curve and that slider and doing what he's supposed to do both sides of the plate with the four-seamer play. So, yeah, I like him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's the type of guy that that teams will be looking at. We'll be looking at the trade deadline. Chris Bassett, a lot of talk about him as a potential. Like, let's be clear right now. I think realistically, I mean, you got to have some guys around. You got to put a team in the field in August and September.
Yeah.
So I think realistically, I don't think we expected Bo or Vladdy to go anywhere. I don't know if anybody's untouchable in this team. We didn't expect Bo and Vladdy to go anywhere. Jose Barrios, again, you've got him under control. Yeah. What about a guy like Chris Bassett? And, you know, we've talked a lot about the number of pitches he throws and how he's kind of, I wouldn't call him a master of deception, but
yeah,
he is a crafty veteran pitcher at this point in his career. He would also be a guy that I would think, especially if you can get into the National League or something like that, away from constant repetition in the American League. He might be a guy that teams would look at.
Yeah, maybe. Again, power plays late in the season, right? He don't throw real hard. It's more about trickery and setting up all the plethora of different speeds and different quadrants he wants to throw it to with different kinds of movements. Like, it would have to be sort of sprinkled in with a sort of a different kind of rotation, and where that rotation thinks it might be having to go to what city and what kind of lineup would sort of fit Chris's repertoire and him being able to go out and sort of add and subtract and do a little bit of the trickery and doing it that kind of way. He's more of a sinker, cutter, curve guy, right? It's that kind of thing. And then you throw the other stuff because you found release points with the quadrants of those three pitches, which would allow you to be able to just mechanically be smooth enough to catch it out front and keep it in the zone and keep it competitive. And again, I don't know what to think of that in October. How would that play? Again, it's the error velocity.
You know,
don't really have that.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing that you have to keep in mind about trades. It's not just what you're going to get from a guy in October. It's getting you to October. There are a lot of teams. Maybe that's stuff that doesn't play in October, but there are a lot of teams. You know, you look at the standings, there are a lot of teams jockeying for postseason positions. And there's no indication that yet. It does. Just because you add a guy doesn't mean that you think this guy is going to be a stud for you in the postseason. The question is getting there, and I think a guy like Chris Bassett can help a team get there.
I think you started this conversation by saying somebody's got to pitch the entire season for the Blue Jays, right? And if you get rid of Chris and say you get rid of Yusei Kikuchi, who's filling in the blanks? That's the thing you got to ask yourself. And, you know, this guy who can do this for six or seven innings – most of the time that he goes out there, I don't know if it's worth trading him. Like, what exactly would you get for him? So it'd be interesting.
All right, we've got a couple of clips from John Schneider I want to get to before we go to the phone lines. Again, the number is 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590. This was John Schneider after the game.
Man, guys battled back. You know, homer from Vlad to get us right back in it. I think he broke a part of the scoreboard out there. That was pretty impressive at bat. And then George with the homer, too. You get the tying run at second with one out. And big stolen base from Stu. And, you know, just you're a swing away, really, from winning it. And it was just, the home run there to Perez, you know, puts us in a little bit of a hole. But you bounce back. And bullpen did a really, really good job, I thought. So between those things, you know, you look at it and you go, okay, we got beat tonight, but there was a lot of good things.
That was John Schneider. John Schneider was asked, and I want to get to this clip right away because we talked about it. He was also asked about letting Chris Bassett go a fourth time through the order.
It just pitch count and knowing him and trusting him. Just kind of left a ball in the middle there, but that was kind of, you know, when the game unfolded, you kind of target there with Keith and Veerling and then Riley. You know, you kind of target that spot and you trust Chris to – he had handled Perez pretty well up until that point. And he got beat in that one particular at bat. But, I'll take Chris Bassett any day of the week, third, fourth, fifth time through the order.
I mean, I don't know about the fifth time through.
Wow. I mean, it's fair.
But,
He knows his player better than we do.
Oh, it is. I made the point. I made the point as well. He's only at 95 pitches. He said, what, 8 days off? 7 days off?
No, 8 days between starts. I think it's because you had the lefty loose. The lefty's been really good the last eight appearances that he's been in. He's well-rested. He's been dominant in lefties. Again, it's that thing. It's the John Gibbons thing that I used to ask, why'd you do that? And he looked right at me and said, bark, because I don't want to have to answer the question. There you go.
I think it's pretty clear that from John Schneider, that's the way, you know, that was the way they had it, the way they had a plan. They wanted to get there.
Hadn't been that plan all season. I think that's the thing, right? Again, I can't argue with John trusting one of his veteran guys, and he knows him way better than we know him. We just know what he hasn't done all season in 19 starts coming into tonight. Against the lefty, four-time through, who's had some decent at-bats to you. I know one of the at-bats, he had a line drive single to right on a sinker down the middle. Like, I'm not letting him face him again. That's me. But, again, John's the manager.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. 5-4, the Toronto Blue Jays have lost to the Detroit Tigers. Let's take a break and come back with calls on the other side. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Chris, when you look at this, the second half of what's left of the year, what success do you, what are you looking for? What do you want to see?
Make the playoffs.
What about yourself personally? What do you want to see?
Make the playoffs. Pitch in the playoffs, make the playoffs.
Well, there you go. That is Chris Bassett. I guess the obvious question is, the obvious follow is, Chris, for which team do you envision yourself making the playoffs or pitching in the playoffs? That was Chris Bassett after tonight's 5-4 loss to the Detroit Tigers. I love Chris Bassett, man. Chris Bassett interviews are must listen to. Chris Bassett, one of the players that we expect the Jays to at least the other teams to kick tires on. I know that John Morosi reported today that the Jays are listening to or will be listening to offers for players that they do have some control over as well. So it's not just the rentals, the potential free agents like Danny Jansen and that. And I take that to mean they'll listen to offers on their pitchers. I'm still not entirely certain that Vladdy or Bo are in the table. I don't think Vladdy is. I mean, listen, I think you got to take a real shot at re-signing Vladdy.
Well, the Bo injury, I think, will derail what they were trying to do maybe with that.
We will. That's a great point. We'll have to wait and see. If you missed it, Bo Bichette left the game today with after aggravating his right calf injury. It did not. We're not doctors. I've seen a lot of these things. That did not look good. Like he essentially stumbled down first base. And based on the reactions, as we said a little later, of some of his teammates, like guys have been around the game. They know when an injury is. Like, you've just been there, right? You see how your teammate reacts. You've probably been in a similar situation. So that did not look good. Again, he'll have an MRI tomorrow. But if Bo Bichette goes on the IL for any stretch of time, you'd have to think that would have an impact on a trade, regardless of whether or not one is in the works.
Yeah.
Down in the farm today, just want to mention Kevin Joey Votto was
what?
Joey Votto joined the AAA Bisons, and well, shock of shocks, suffered a slight ankle injury in a pregame warm up, and I mean, I think Joey Votto is just killing time in AAA till the Jays make some moves at the deadline, and then they'll bring Joey Votto up, and maybe they'll get a couple of nice crowds to see Joey Votto here and give him a send-off. I still haven't figured out exactly what the hell Joey Votto's doing at this stage of his career, but that's not my concern. Mitch in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. What's up, Mitch?
How are you doing, fellas? I was listening to your show earlier today, and you guys said something that kind of intrigued me, where you were talking about Mason Miller. I think you said he had 5 years of control left, and I was thinking, sorry, I might have got that number wrong.
No, we didn't talk about Mason Miller, but I'm glad you brought it up. But continue.
So I'm guessing he's got some control left. And I was wondering, like, wouldn't it make sense for the Jays to be in on a guy like that, especially if you have a couple years of Bo and Vladdy left and obviously Springer on the books and you're going to try and contend? So, like, wouldn't it make sense? I know they don't have a ton of prospects, but, like, and you talk about it all the time, they need a closer, terrible bullpen this year. So why wouldn't they want to be in on a guy like that for next year and the year after? And if they stink a couple years from now, you can just trade him again. I'll listen to your thoughts off the air. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Mitch, I appreciate the call. Interesting that you mentioned that, because I did talk to Kevin a little bit about this actually on our way over to the park. And it kind of an interesting little item over the All-Star break. It didn't get a tremendous amount of coverage. But Mason Miller wants to start. Of course, Mason Miller's the hard-throwing closer for the Oakland Athletics. He seems inclined to want to pull a Jordan Hicks and eventually start. Now, the only reason I mention that is, to me, that would make him even more valuable to a team. I've got to think, the problem with the Jays and Mason Miller is he makes more sense for me as a starter for them, because this team, Ricky Tiedemann's going for a second opinion. This team does not have a lot of starters. I mean, this is what you got. What you got here is what you got in the organization for starting pitching. There's nothing else down there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nada. You know, we're talking like, what, Aaron Sanchez is still around. I mean, there's nothing. I don't even know if Aaron's still at AAA. There's just nothing. There's nothing in the pipeline in terms of starters for next year. So maybe from that point of view, it makes sense in that Mason Miller does want to start. But what are you going to, you know, if you're the Oakland Athletics, you're not interested in a rental. You know, Danny Jansen doesn't do anything for the Athletics. You're not interested in George Springer. You're not interested in 33 or 32-year-old starting pitchers. Bo, I mean, if you're Oakland, you really don't want a guy you're only going to have for another year, and then he's going to become a free agent. And I would think chances are pretty good that Bo Bichette would not sign with the Oakland Athletics. I think it's pretty safe to say that. So I just don't see how the hell the Jays put that deal together. They do not have the minor league prospects to get that done. As we've said, their best pitching prospects in the organization are hurt. Relvis Martinez is a PED suspension. I mean, it's going to be really difficult for this team to do anything significant at the trade deadline. Like that's one of the things. You may have to settle, folks, for a bunch of Steve Pierce for Santiago Espinal deals, because that's really what this team has to trade. They've got a bunch of Steve Pierces. They've got Justin Turner. They've got Danny Jansen, who catches, so at least he has some utility there. You know, you've got Trevor Richards, a sixth-inning guy in a good team. You've got Jimmy Garcia, who is back with the Blue Jays. Maybe Chad Green interests somebody. But you say Kikuchi. I mean, other than that, Kevin Kiermaier, the guys you want to trade aren't likely to bring you anything significant in return. You're not getting anybody's top prospect for Danny Jansen. You're just not. So, I mean, Mason Miller situation, that's where things get really dicey for this team. I mean, this organization's paying for the fact that they've not had good drafts. They've not done particularly well in the international market. And they just don't have – there's not a lot of attractive pieces in this team right now for a team that's contending, and two, for a team that's looking to rebuild.
Let's face it, the Orioles have more assets than the Blue Jays to get a guy like Mason Miller, right? I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, you face it. You watch the All-Star game, he had the best stuff there. I mean, that's a fact. Like, his stuff was off the charts good. You could picture that if you're an Orioles fan coming in a ninth inning and, you know, beating a Yankees team or beating an Astros team, or, you know, if you got to a World Series doing some things against the Phillies, they got more assets to get that done, that kind of thing. Look, I think if you're the Blue Jays organization, you're trying to trade what you got now for bats. Like, you notice in the draft, for me anyway, they went out and got a bunch of college pitchers, right? That seemed to be the easiest thing for them to do, and they have a blueprint, I would think, on how to, because of what we see every day at the big league level when it comes to the pitching and what we don't see on an everyday basis when it comes to the everyday guys. So if it were me, I'd the organization, I mean, the more bats you can get in here, the better chance you got of hitting on one or two of them. So if you got to trade three or four of them dudes and try and get a bunch of, you know, younger bats in here, and hopefully they're left-handed and hopefully they can play all over the place, sooner or later you're going to run into one of them that you hit a home run on.
Really?
That, I mean, that's not the goal, right? Or
it
you
is.
Just don't do anything.
No, it is.
You hold on to what you got.
It is, but again, here's
and
the,
you pray.
Here's the thing. Huh. You're going to be making a deal with an organization that is, one, contending, and two, has a pretty deep prospect pool, if you want to get that. Like, nobody's going to give you a regular off their team.
I think you're asking for that. But this gets back to, you know, a GM's track record with another GM, relationships with GMs to, you know, what's this guy look like? How's this bat look? I don't want that pitcher. I want that bat. Like, the more bats you get, the better chance you got of one actually being worth something.
I think if you're the Blue Jays right now, I mean, again,
goodbye pitching.
You're not going to get I just don't think you have anything that's going to bring you a significant bat. I mean, maybe Bassett does, maybe Kikuchi does, but nobody's going to give you their top prospect for those guys. So you're going to be, you know, you're probably going to be looking at somebody's 24, 25-year-old left-handed hitter. You're probably going to be looking at somebody else's Spencer Horwitz or somebody else's Davis Schneider.
Try to get five or six of those in here. Maybe hit a home run on one of them. Or you do nothing and...
No, I'm saying you have to. You're obviously going to have to move some guys, but I think your chances of getting something for a pitcher are a lot better than your chances.
This is what happens when you got some guys who are underperforming or on the back nine, right? It's very hard to get what you want from them when you're underperforming as a team and an organization, and you got to go outside the box and do things you really don't want to do. So. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you make your own bed, don't you?
Yeah. Well, that is the, again, we've talked about this a lot on our show, and we talked a lot about it in this show, and everybody who's done this show has talked about it. There's just, this organization just does not have a lot of assets right now. I mean, I cannot put it any other way. And that's why I said, be prepared, because I know that the trade deadline is, that's what the people are excited about right now. They're excited about the trade deadline.
Mm.
And as I said, be prepared for a couple of Santiago Espinal deals. And I'm not slagging Santiago Espinal, but I'm saying that's what you're looking at. You're probably looking at getting somebody's,
hopefully he's left-handed,
prospect, top somebody's prospect around 8th, 9th, 10th or something like that for these guys. But again, it depends. Guys get hurt. The pitcher gets hurt. All of a sudden, the dude, like you say, Kikuchi becomes even more, even more valuable to teams. But again, there we are. Like, I love that Chris Bassett comment. His goal is the pitch in the playoffs. I think that
Brewers.
That was a loaded observation from Mr. Bassett. And man, a few words, many pitches, and deep meaning. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Winnipeg and Winkler, Manitoba, which is 7 kilometers from my hometown, Morden, Manitoba. Shout out to Winkler. Indeed, shout out to all of Southern Manitoba. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.